Welcome to A Longer Table Podcast, a space where curiosity and proximity will challenge everything you thought you knew. I'm your host, Amanda Carpenter, inviting you to pull up a seat. You just might leave thinking, maybe we're not so different. I've been really excited about this conversation, Kiri, because you and I got connected on Instagram. That seems to be a thing that I say often here on this podcast. But what's unique about our connection is we didn't connect because we were just like two peas in a pod, seeing everything the same way. We actually connected because we do have common ground. We're both moms. We both love the Lord. We're trying to follow Jesus, lots of things, but we also have a lot of differences. And I just really, my heart and hope in having you on today is to get to know your story. I am a very curious person, so I am genuinely curious. I can't wait to learn more. And for listeners who maybe don't see things the same way as me or don't believe the same way as me, to have someone reflect their beliefs and their viewpoints, because that is really what makes the table longer. So thank you so much for agreeing to be here. And just everything you're about to share, I'm super excited.
Thanks, Amanda. Thanks for the invite. And it's so fun to hang out virtually with you for a little bit today. Thanks for a seat at your table. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, let's start at the beginning. When did you identify, or when did you start identifying as gay? And when did you begin to date women and live your life as part of the LGBTQ plus community? Let's start there. Obviously, this is a journey that's going to take us from that, away from that, just so listeners have that sort of heads up of where this conversation is going. But I'd love to start there if that's okay.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So I feel like I started kind of questioning my sexuality when I was about 12, pretty young, ripe age. So I had some friends that identified as bi and would ask that, you know, they're kind of just a little bit too big for their britches, I'll say. I wasn't really aware of that. I was just aware I always kind of had these conflicting feelings. And so I was like, you know what? I probably am bi, just went with it. But I wasn't, you know, out about it. Granted, this was like 2007. So that wasn't really a thing back then, especially not in middle school. And if it was, then you were the outlier. So I kind of really struggled with this and really questioned it all through high school. I didn't really date in high school. I had like one boyfriend the summer after I graduated, and it didn't really last long. So I just never really felt like boys liked me and that I would ever have a chance to date. And so by college was when I kind of started experimenting a little bit more with my sexuality and was like, you know, maybe that's never worked out because I am gay. Like, and I got to know this girl in my book. I call her the girl with the braid, who was out. She'd been out for a really long time. And so we really connected, and I kind of started telling her my story and like my thoughts. And she's like, yeah, 100%. It's probably because you're gay. And we ended up really like bonding. And so she was the first person that I dated. I was 18, I think. And then I lived out as a lesbian until I was like 20, maybe 20 and a half, or I was about 20. And that is the year that I came to know Jesus and when everything changed.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, I just make sure I get this straight. There was confusion around your sexuality, which, and then combine that confusion with meeting someone who was out, this girl with the braid, as you refer to her. You guys engage in this relationship. You then identify as a lesbian, as part of the LGBTQ community, for about over two years-ish, roughly.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you've already sort of answered. My next question was really going to be, what shifted in your life that made you feel differently about being gay? Do you ever remember feeling like it wasn't okay to be gay during the years that you identified as a lesbian, or were you totally cool with it, but then something happened?
I mean, I was definitely okay with it. I recognized that if I came out, you know, it was going to have an impact. It was going to have a social impact. I was raised Catholic. I wasn't a Christian though. And so I did recognize there was going to be a spiritual impact. There was relational impacts. My parents were not for it. They were pretty devastated when I came out. It was like really hard for them. Some of my friends were really confused. It really like it interrupted my life in a lot of ways. And it was very heavy. It was a very, very heavy, heavy choice, very heavy decision. This was probably like 2012, 2013 now. So that was the year that the gay marriage law was passed, like nationwide. And so it was like a very controversial topic at that point in time. And so when I came out, it was like, I had a lot of people that were like, this is great. But I had a lot of people like, this is not good. And so I really conflicted. It was a very, honestly, a dark lifestyle. And so like that was conflicting in itself. It was not an easy way to live. And I started getting really curious about the Bible, really curious about God. And so the more that I like learned about God and like read the Bible, the more I was really questioning, is this the right thing to do? I feel like I had a fairly radical salvation experience where it was like, I wasn't just chasing Jesus to free me from this. Like I was just chasing Jesus. And it took a couple of months of unraveling for me to really work through those deep issues and like give this sexuality up and leave it at the cross and walk the other way. And so it was like, because I love Jesus, like he showed me, I feel like his great and perfect design for me, for my life. And then just the rest just followed suit, thanks to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. What kind of, I have more questions. We're going to keep going and we'll just kind of sit with all of this. What kind of feedback do you get from the LGBTQ community when you talk about your journey as someone who identifies now as quote unquote ex-gay? What kind of feedback have you also gotten from the Christian community? I'm sure it's been, there's probably been praise, there's probably been critics, it's probably been mean and hateful at times, and it's probably been rejoicing and wonderful at times. I can imagine the whiplash you've endured.
Yeah, lots of whiplash. When I first became a Christian, when I first accepted Jesus into my life, I was really like, I was fairly zealous. I didn't immediately identify as a heterosexual. If anything, now that I know the word for it, I feel like I was kind of more of a eunuch. I was just going to vow to celibacy and singleness for the rest of my life. I did not think I was going to get married. I didn't want to get married. I didn't know if I'd ever like boys again. I didn't know. And so I was like, whatever you do, God, whatever. But I just want to get to know you and I'm content just getting to know you. And so I would start speaking out about like LGBT movements because I had been a huge part of it. And then I had this really big, like conflicting, like, what did I do? Like, what did I start? What have I been a proponent of? And just seeing all my friends and like living in that hurtful lifestyle where I was like, whoa, guys, like we don't have to live like this. Like there is a way out. Like I found the way out. And so when I really started speaking out and being like, hey, y'all, like, especially I had some people in the community that did feel like they were Christians or that claimed to be Christians and they were not willing to change, like stop dating the same gender and like start following God's laws according to like gender and his purpose of design and sexuality. And they did not like that. And so that was really hard. I lost a lot of friends on both sides. I had friends who were not Christians, but not part of the community who were like very hurtful, who were like, how dare you? You know, you're such a hypocrite. And I was like, I mean, when I was out, you were celebrating with me and you don't even believe in Jesus. So like, this has no effect on you. Why should it matter? Like, why can't you just, you were happy for me when I was living that lifestyle. And now I come out and say like, hey, this is not a healthy lifestyle and I'm going to make a change. And like, this change has been so good. And now you don't like that. Like that just kind of blew my mind. And so it took about 6 years of like deep healing before I started talking out again. And so then when I did start my ministry, and really felt like I should be more vocal about this, I know there are people that are hurting. I know there are people who went through this, like I did, that, you know, I put myself out there, like you said, a lot of whiplash. So I still get people who are in the community, still living in that lifestyle that feel like I'm being, you know, dangerous with my platform or hateful with my words. And, you know, I really try my hardest to be as cautious and compassionate as I possibly can without hindering the truth. Mm-hmm. And so in those instances, it's like, I can't help that. And I know how it feels to hear what I'm saying, because I was one of those people. I was one of those people that hated when my Christian friends or even my non-Christian friends told me, like, this is not the way to do it. This is not God's way. And so I know exactly how it feels, because it is something that is confronting your entire identity. It's terrifying, because if your identity is wrong and if you put all your eggs in that basket, then what else is wrong? If you've given up your entire livelihood, your family, your friends, your jobs, your, you know, occupation, whatever, for following your gender identity or your sexual identity, and somebody tells you that, like, that's not God's way, that is, like, it can be really devastating. And so then, yeah, I have a lot of Christians who do celebrate. I have gotten to meet a couple ex-gays that were like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, it's nice to know I'm not alone. It's nice to know I'm not the only one. So it's been all across the spectrum, different conclusions, different thoughts and opinions for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. Within the Christian community itself, there's obviously a lot of divisiveness about interpretation of scripture. And I've had people on the podcast just shedding light on their interpretation of scripture and where they've landed. One person who is gay, one who is not gay. And obviously, I'm a heterosexual female who's never identified or had same-sex attraction. So it's hard for me sometimes. I can share how I interpret scripture, but it's hard for me to really say much because I've never been in the shoes of someone who has had that same-sex attraction. So I try to focus on inviting voices in my life who that is, they identify as part of the LGBTQ plus community, or they would identify maybe as yourself as having struggled with same-sex attraction at one point in time, however you want to put it. So I love hearing the different stories because I've met people who are gay, but choose celibacy. They believe that's what they're called to, and that's their conviction. And then I have friends who obviously are gay and feel like, essentially, like, why should they not be allowed to be in love and be married and have a partner and follow Jesus with that person the same way me and he do together?
Yeah.
So a couple, like, kind of, I guess, rapid fire questions I have for you in follow-up to everything you just shared is, and this is truly just from a place of curiosity and me trying to, like, understand and wrap my brain around it. Do you feel like when you, as you described it, a radical, like, salvation story, do you feel like when you encountered Jesus and you began to be in relationship with God that you were cured of same-sex attraction? Or would you say that that is still an ongoing, like, thing you have to navigate? How would you describe, did it just go away overnight? Or was it just a true deep conviction of that's not the way I want to live? So even if I'm feeling this, I'm going to choose otherwise.
It was the latter. It was a hard process. It was very confusing for me. Honestly, I never had anybody, like, teach me about sex, sexuality, my body, nothing like that. And so, I mean, to be completely frank, I was exposed to pornography around 12, and those feelings are really what ignited my, like, am I gay? Am I lesbian? Cause, like, this makes me feel really good. And so I struggled with that for at least another 2 years. I mean, I'm complete honesty, like, into my marriage, probably a good year and a half into my marriage to a man. And so that I literally felt like, well, if I'm looking at this, but I'm not doing it, that's not bad, because I had no moral foundation to tell me otherwise. So in my head, I was like, well, I'm not actually doing the acts. So if I'm looking at this, it's not that bad. And then, I mean, there were nights where I was on the floor, like, in a cross position, telling my, you know, in college, telling my roommates, or having to confess to my husband and being like, I don't understand why this is still a struggle, because, like, I don't want this anymore. And it was so hard. And it was so, like, I felt so much guilt. I felt so much shame. It was a process. It was not overnight. I wish it was sometimes, but I can say, like, here and now, like, the Lord is so good because he really has removed that temptation from me completely, where it's not an issue anymore.
Yeah.
This is not an easy conversation. And whenever I have these conversations, I know, like, I could lose a friend on either side. I could lose a friend. And I've lost, when I became a Christian, all of my gay friends left me. Like, I have nobody. And so I get it 100%. And one of the things that I say all the time when I do have the chance to share the gospel with somebody in the LGBT plus community is that being left feels so atrocious. And that's not what Jesus's purpose is. And so even if we can't agree on Jesus, we can agree that it feels horrible to abandon each other. And you have to be able, I think, to be a balanced human to converse about both sides logically and peaceably.
Yeah.
And agree to disagree. But at the end of the day, if somebody is your best friend or your sister or your mother or your brother, that should not go away. And so learning how to have conversations with each other where you might not agree, you can accept without approving. And so I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I appreciate that. I think what I'm curious about is, do you believe that being gay is a sin or only acting on being gay? Does that make sense?
Yeah. 100%. Totally know what you're saying. I get that question a lot. And that was something that I struggled with for a really long time. So when I accepted the Lord into my life, I was still struggling with my sexuality. I was not actively pursuing any girls, but it was still something that I was like, I don't know where I lie. And when God saved me, he was like, we'll deal with that later. Right now, just trust me. And so what I really truly came to believe and understand about God and the gospel is that God has a perfect design and he does not make mistakes. He knows what he's doing. And so for me to feel brokenness over something where in Genesis 2, you know, God made man and woman, he made them in his image. That's it. And he said it was good and he took a rest. So if I'm going to believe in the Bible, I'm going to trust the Bible, then I can look at that and say, you know what, this is what he said. And this is what he said is good. He's going to work it out. Like, he's going to work it out for his good and for his glory and for my sanctification to look like Jesus. And Jesus said that God's word is the way. It's the truth and the light. It's the bread. It's the living water. We can rest in it. We can soak it up. We can put our whole hope and joy in the Bible. And so I had to believe that what I was feeling, what I believed I was not right because God said otherwise. And it took a long time for me to like get that from my head to my heart, but I got there. It took a long time. But at the end of the day, I think whether or not we're acting on it, whether we're acting on our homosexual lifestyle or not, isn't the issue. I think the issue comes with identity. And so we have to believe that our identity is as children of God. And that's it. Like, there's nothing to layer on top of it. It's just child of God, period. And I think once we really like let that sink in, then, you know, it moves into all the other facets of our life where we can start laying down these other identities and other like associations that we hold on to so strongly to really like take on every promise, every perfect identity that God says that we are instead. So I don't think it's necessarily like if you act on this gayness or you don't, that's the sin, or if you are gay or you're not, that's the sin. I think it's literally as simple as like, are you trusting the Lord that he made you right and perfect and his way is perfect and good and true, and that you can leave this at the cross and he will pick it up and carry it from you, and all you have to do is have faith and obey and accept him. That's kind of where that's my baseline. I think really the Lord fills in all those gaps.
Yeah. And I welcome and appreciate, and obviously I've invited you here because I want to hear another perspective at our table. And I think it's good for listeners to hear it as well. Some things that kind of come up for me as I'm listening is just like, well, for starters, I think interpretation of scripture, if we go back to that, which we're not going to like dive deep into right now, but I could say something entirely different than what you're saying based on how I've interpreted scripture and my studies of the word and the breakdown of the original language and the context and the culture and all of the things. And that's where we get biblical scholars who will say the Bible isn't black and white. The Bible isn't clear. And then you have them, some that land progressive, some that land more on the historic view. So there's that element, right? Secondly, while I love this journey for you and that you found, for lack of other words, as you've described, a way out of the homosexual lifestyle and a way into a heterosexual marriage. And we're going to talk about your family today if you're open to it, because I'd love to hear, you know, and for people to hear what your family's like today. But I feel sad, to be honest, at the thought of somebody having faith and praying and trying so hard to fit that same mold or for to have that freedom and that breakthrough that you've described you've had and not being able to have it. I feel sad at the thought of like, is the only option for that, like in with your beliefs, is the best option then or the only option then for them to just be not in a relationship, not have a partner, not have children, not, do they just not get that because of how, I would say, how God made them? And while I believe God is good and I don't believe God makes mistakes, I guess I get a little, again, curious about babies who are born with a cleft lip or something. We take care of that with a procedure and give them normalcy, or we repair and we do our best to heal that. Mm-hmm. In the same way, if a person is born with the wrong genitalia, could that be corrected? Or would we say absolutely not? That's confusing their identity. That's where it's so complex and I have way more questions than answers, but I'm just like processing while we're chatting here. I'm verbally processing aloud.
Yeah. Because that was something that I really struggled with too. And I think that when it comes down to it, just in all frankness, I remember my dad was like, you know, Kay, you know, you're never going to be able to have kids, right? And you've always said you wanted to be a mommy. It doesn't work that way. Like you cannot have your cake and eat it. Two girls do not make a baby. With, you know, science and IVF, yeah, that option is available, but biologically, no. And that is because that was God's design. And who am I to question that? Who am I to question the Lord of Lords, the King of the universe, the Creator, you know? That's how he designed it.
One thought on that, though, because there are a lot of people who can't have biological kids, even in a heteronormal relationship, to your point, sometimes IVF, sometimes other ways. But that's where, as a foster parent and someone who's so passionate about motherhood not having to require DNA, I see your point and what your dad was saying about, well, biologically, God, that doesn't work. Like, two guys can't make a baby. Two girls.
Yeah. So I've struggled with IVF, and I have some very, one of my closest friends who are struggling with that. And I think that would be honestly a really huge slap in the face to them, because that's not their choice. And to believe that even through your infertility, God is good and perfect and your body is not broken, even if you're struggling with homosexuality, God is still good. And if you are trusting in Jesus, like his robe of righteousness is still covering you. And so you are still perfect in God's eyes. But there's a huge difference between struggling with infertility by something that is not your choice and struggling with the temptation of homosexuality, where there are times when it feels like you have no other choice, but there's always a choice. There's always a choice. And sometimes that looks like minute by minute, I'm laying this down at the cross. And sometimes that looks like day by day, where it's like some days I'm struggling with this and it's like, I don't know, this just doesn't even bother me. And some days you're like in the trenches and so trying hard not to fall into that temptation. And sometimes you fall into that sin where you do relapse, like an addiction, where you're like, oh, okay, like I went to this hookup, I entertained this, and like this relationship, this homosexual relationship, and I know that that's not what the Lord has for me. So I have to repent, and Lord's mercies are new every day, and I get to try again tomorrow. That's totally different than IVF, where it's like, that's not a choice, you know? And that is like, that's part of the brokenness of the world, and it's heartbreaking. And just like this temptation, this struggle with homosexuality is part of the brokenness of the world. Like, God did not design that way. So I think it's two completely separate things.
Yeah, I think I'm hearing you. I'm really trying to track and not just form my next thought or my next question, but I think what I am sitting with is, man, again, I wish we had a third party, someone in this conversation who is gay and is affirming and is living that lifestyle and is a believer as well, just to round out. But I've had that on the podcast before, so I'm glad we're having a different conversation. The reason I would love to have them here and to round out the conversation, though, is because I feel, again, a little bit like, who am I as a person I've never identified that way. That's never been a quote unquote struggle or whatever you want to call it for me. But what I can say is, I feel a little bit sad with the thought that if I had to get in bed or have any sexual encounter with another girl, like that would be so unnatural for me. That would be so like, that's just not doing it for me.
Yeah.
And so the thought of essentially saying to LGBTQ folks, like, pray for God to change you. And like, if you have enough faith, it'll happen.
And I'm totally not saying that. And Jackie O'Perry, she has a whole chapter on this in her book, Gay Girl, Good God.
Yeah, read it.
The heterosexual gospel. Like I said, I didn't think I was ever going to get married. I didn't think I was going to be attracted to men. I didn't think that was something that was ever in the cards for me. And that was also something that was like, I have to lay this at the cross too. And so there was a lot, I'm trying to think what the word is now, what they call it, like pansexual, you know, like hearts, not parts kind of thing, where I was like, maybe that's what I am. And there was a point where I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, these identities are doing me no good. And so the fact that God blessed me with my husband, like that was God, that was a blessing. And that was petrifying for me. I didn't want to get married. I didn't want to date like that. I fasted and prayed and thought and asked for wisdom and talked to my pastor, talked to my friends, because I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, and it wasn't like I had to force myself into it, but it was petrifying for me. It was a huge risk. And that was not a promise. There was no promise that was going to be my life. And if it wasn't, I was content. I knew that no matter what, I would get to live a life that would glorify the Lord, whether I was single or whether I was married, whether I ended up, you know, still feeling like that temptation for other girls, or whether I started feeling emotional attraction, physical attraction for boys.
I have another question for you. You've referred to your time as being gay as like a really dark time, which I think could be interpreted or mean a lot of different things. So I want to ask really what that means to you, because I'll just say that the some of the closest people in my life are part of the LGBTQ plus community, and they are some of the most loving, most generous, most Christ-like. Like, when I think about the way of Jesus, they emulate Jesus, and nothing about them or their lifestyle is dark. And I think they would describe the freedom they feel in coming out and owning their sexuality as being like the most light they've ever felt. So I'm just curious, what did you mean by that? It was such a dark time for you.
Yeah. Well, first off, I wasn't a Christian then. So I think that's something to point out, was that I was living apart from the Lord. my experience, the people that I was with around in the community at the time of my life, there was a lot of depression, a lot of self-harm, a lot of abuse, a lot of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, STDs, broken relationships, cheating. And that's what I've found to be fairly normal in that. A lot of anxiety, a lot of spiritual attacks, a lot of demonic attacks. I felt very, very like in the depths and pits of despair, very, very far away from God. But I also like, I was not a Christian and I knew that. So I think that is different. And I think too, like, you know, once I came to know Jesus, and I was living under, you know, the new covenant with God, like my sin broke me. And so I think even if you've never experienced homosexuality, like if you've ever experienced like deep sin that is apart from God, like, you know, adultery or addiction or like lying or coveting or gluttony, like it breaks you, it breaks your heart. And so, and it, you know, that you are like at animosity with the Lord and not near him when you're living in unrepentant sin. And so, I mean, hopefully that's something that you can relate on where, you know, this is something that biblically speaking is not part of God's, like it's not part of God's way. It's not what he has for his people. And so we can relate on like when we are living in unconfessed or hidden sin, like it just like rips you apart, you know?
So I definitely hear that and can relate to that, but I wouldn't lump being gay or homosexuality into that sin based on my interpretation and study of scripture. So that's where there's the difference in our beliefs and,
gotcha.
And all of that. But when you were describing what it was like the darkness, I would say a lot of my LGBTQ plus friends felt that, dealt with that, the depression, the struggles, all the things before they came out and fully embraced their identity and didn't have to hide. I mean, we could get into the statistics on the suicide rates for people who are identifying as LGBTQ and all of that stuff. And some people would say, well, that's a product of their lifestyle or a product of their quote unquote sin. Other people would say, well, that's because we live in a culture, especially Christian culture, that doesn't embrace them. And therefore they continuously feel rejected over and over. And I don't, again, know the answers. I'm just here to have this conversation because I'm so intrigued by everyone's unique journey. And I personally can hold space and be so happy for you, because if you tell me that your life today, your marriage, your kids, the life you're living today is lighter and freer and more joyful and ultimately just following Jesus and is bringing heaven on earth in a variety of different ways. If you say that and you mean that, which I think you do, I believe you, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I know that's not the case for some people, for others that have been in your shoes, and just want to acknowledge that and just sit in that tension.
And I will say, like, my joy doesn't come from my marriage and my children. My joy comes from the Lord. And that's something I struggle with. I have still, even as a Christian, depression and anxiety, and I need external help with that, pharmaceutical help with that. And I've really come to learn what it means to have that deep-rooted, that wildly rooted joy that comes from trusting and believing in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so just the fact that like I am married, I have children, like that's not my identity. And totally. And even those things are things that I have to hold open-handedly. Just knowing like this is what the Lord has for me, and this is what he's considering a blessing and the best for me right now, and what is part of his good plan. And so I'm curious, like, what are some scriptures that you feel like affirm the progressive view of LGBT affirming LGBT. Christianity? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's less about pulling cherry-picked verses the way both sides tend to do, and more about understanding that the word homosexuality wasn't even used in the Bible until 1946, I believe. I need to now double check that, Matt, that number. But the when we take the Bible from its original language and then we translate, I think things can get lost in translation. There's a whole documentary on this. Not everyone will believe that there are differing biblical scholars' interpretations, but I have various sources, and there was nothing at stake for me as a heterosexual person to believing that that homosexuality is wrong and homosexuality is a sin. So it's not like I have some big agenda to like,
yeah,
for it not to be. That's just where I've landed in my studies.
Yeah.
Of both just the Bible itself, then the different studies and resources that exist on discerning scripture from its original language and the interpretation there, and many conversations. And then I also just believe that the Holy Spirit lives within our intuition. This is my personal belief. Now, I'm not saying we trust every feeling. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I do believe that the Holy Spirit, when you are in a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit lives within your intuition. And there has always been something that's felt really off for me about the rejection of that lifestyle, that attraction, whatever, even though it doesn't apply to me. So again, I have nothing's at stake for me. So I'll say that we can link. I'll actually make sure to get from you and me both just like resources on both sides so that people can also do their own research. Because the last thing that I am interested in is for people to hunker down on a cherry-picked verse or to hunker down without ever asking themselves the questions and discerning for themselves. The same way people argue about whether or not men and women could be teaching in the church, there's different interpretations. The same way there's different interpretations about baptism. I mean, we could go on and on about all these.
But they're not salvific issues when it comes down to it, though.
And that's also a differing viewpoint. There are people that believe that it's essential versus non-essential in salvation. So it's just so complex.
Yeah. And yeah, I think sometimes, but I think we can also make it more complex than it has to be. To accept the Lord, he says that we are to repent and to believe the gospel and give our lives to him. And
I would agree with that, but my interpretation of what the gospel means and what all that requires, it sounds like there's differing interpretation.
Well, I don't think, you know, because when I accepted the gospel, I was sitting on the couch in my mom's house in my lifeguarding bathing suit. I could barely understand what I was reading in the Bible. And I was reading Mark 4, the parable of the sower. And I remember it was just so confusing. And I was like, God, just make it make sense. Like, I'm so tired of this. And like, the Lord gave me wisdom where I could understand, okay, like, I have no roots. I have no, like, I'm not in good soil. Like, I'm going to hell. I thought I was saved. I thought I was sanctified. I thought because I wasn't dating girls, like I was good. Mm. But, you know, I was getting sober. I had issues with substance abuse, alcohol abuse as a teenager. I was at home sobering up and, you know, thinking like, okay, like I'm good. I'm good. This is great. And God was like, if you go back out, because I was riding my little brother's bike to the pool as a lifeguard, because this is in my story, but my car got stolen. I had to move back home with my mom, who I was estranged from, all this crazy stuff. I lost everything. And the Lord was like, if you go back on that bike and go back to work and you get hit by a car, like you're going to hell. Like you are not with me. You are apart from me. Your salvation is not complete. Like you've never accepted the Lord. You've never accepted Jesus into your heart. You've never obeyed me and listened to my word or read my word or cared about it. And so that was like, where I was like, oh, okay. Like, I don't want that. Like, I want to know that my salvation is secure. And so, like I said, I still struggled with that question of my sexuality for at least another 2 years, even into marriage. And so that's why I really try to stress the point when I get to mentor people that it's like, the Holy Spirit will deal with that. And for some people, that is a thorn for the next 70 years of their life, where there's this temptation that they're going back and forth with forever. Mm-hmm. There are some people who get married to the opposite gender and it's still a struggle. There are some people who, like, after a year or two, that's not a struggle for them anymore. There are some people who struggle with that forever and choose celibacy. Or there's some people who, and I think this is kind of one of the things where it's like, it's, I think it's kind of simple. You know, God said that, like, he made man and woman in his image, and that is how we are to be fruitful and multiply. He made marriage, he designed marriage. And so who are we to doubt that? And so, you know, I think as a, if I were to be living as a homosexual still, and, you know, this person I was with, the girl with the braid, like, we were going to get married. Like, we had plans for that. And had I married her, then I would have been living, like, contrary to what God's, like, good plan is. And that would be something that I would have to deal with the rest of my life. You know, whether I stayed married or got divorced, there would be repercussions for that. Now, would that mean I'm just going to hell? I wouldn't say so. But I think that if you are living as a Christian and you are, like, continuing to not trust the Lord and, like, give up those temptations and not allow yourself to be convicted and not allow yourself to change and, like, living outside of his rule, then at a point, like, you are rejecting the Lord. Like, you are rejecting his goodness. Like, you are rejecting his guidelines, because it's his guidelines. And so I think at the end of the day, sometimes we can make it really complicated. And I always have to just take myself back to Genesis and just be like, if this is what God said he created and how he wanted it created, then I just have to start there. I just have to keep going back to that second chapter of the whole Bible and, like, putting my trust in that. And I think that that always makes everything else in scriptures really just that much easier to digest and understand.
Yeah. Well, despite the differing viewpoints that we have and just everything that you've shared, that I won't comment on, because this isn't a debate. This is a conversation where I've invited you to hear you out and to hear your story. I am curious. So really quick, for people who don't know, because you have a cute family, you're married, you guys have how many kids? Let's talk about that for just a second here. I want to get a picture of your life today.
Yeah. So my husband and I have been married going on 8 years. We met the year that I got saved, which was a huge surprise to me, in college. And we've been together ever since. We got engaged, I think, 6-7 months after dating, and married 7 months after that. And he was, like, one of the first few guys I've ever dated in, like, my whole life. So we have 3 kids. We have a boy, a girl, and a boy, and they're almost 6, almost 4, and a year and a half. So we have a little busy life raising littles right now, but we're trying to make it as fun as possible.
Yeah. I love that. What is your hope for people listening? And I've told you even before we hit record, like, my listener base is very diverse in gender, ethnicity, sexual orientation, beliefs. Some people are Christians, some people are not Christians, some people are ex-evangelical, all over the spectrum.
Right.
If you could summarize, like, what would your heart and hope be for a takeaway of this conversation?
Yeah, I think that my takeaway would be, if you're somebody that is just looking for a way out, whether it's, like, in the homosexual lifestyle or not, that, like, Jesus is an answer. I call him the rescue boat. I feel like sometimes you can be drowning in the middle of the ocean, just looking for help and just looking for somebody to pull you out. And, like, that is Jesus. And he came to earth. He died for our sins, and he came back from the dead, and he's coming back again, and that we can put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, and have eternal life with him, and that he's good and he's perfect and he loves you so much. And that whether you feel like you are gay or you are not gay, whether you're struggling with something that, you know, you haven't been able to talk to anybody about, or maybe you have, and you wish that it could go away, like, God has an open revolving door, and you can call out to him whenever you want, whenever you need. And so I just hope that whether you are somebody that is a believer or a non-believer, that you can know a true Christian, by their love, for others, by their love for Jesus. God is not a God of hate. He's not a God of wrath. And so people that are spewing hate and spewing wrath, I can't say that they're not saved, but I can say that that's not God's way either. And so just trusting that the Lord is good and the Lord is true. And at the end of the day, like, God is love, and his perfect love comes from his son, Jesus. And my hope is always just to equip and encourage other saints that are in this marathon of life. Just keep running your race with endurance, perseverance, Ephesians 2, knowing that our perfect reward is in heaven and it is coming. And so just keep hanging in there and keep swinging.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your willingness to come on and to engage in this conversation. Like I said, that's the whole point of building a longer table, is to have all different perspectives at the table. And it's sometimes hard to find people who are willing to sit down with me and talk about something where we know going into it, like, we don't see this exactly the same way. But I think it's especially helpful when two Christian women are able to do it gracefully and not in an effort to change minds of each other or anyone listening, but really just to be like Jesus, in that I do believe what you said is true. We will be known by how we love people, and that the evidence is the fruit of our life. So I think we should end there. I love that that is something we fully agree on.
Yeah,
And I really appreciate you. And I know that my listeners have heard me say, but I'm a big fan of engaging with, following, reading books by, listening to podcasts by, all the things of people who are different from you, whether that's different ethnicity, whether that's different faith beliefs, whether that's different sexual orientation, not to change your mind, not necessarily for any particular agenda, but I think we can become so siloed and get stuck in such an echo chamber. And it's just really helpful and healthy for us to be people who don't subscribe to cancel culture, who don't look at somebody and say, oh, they believe that, well, I'm done with them. Who can be bigger than that? And honestly, hopefully more Christ-like than that. So
yeah,
thank you. That was a way of saying thanks for engaging in this.
That was
because
perfect.
I know my listeners will love you, even if they don't agree with you, even if they don't align or whatever, if there's parts of the conversation that make them a little squirmish in their seats. But no one will come at you. And that's what I love about the listeners of A Longer Table podcast, is no one is, no matter where they fall in all of this conversation, is interested in participating in that type of thing. So thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah. And that's the same for Wildly Rooted. I always want to invite a spirit of togetherness and community. And I really try to be frank in the struggle, knowing that, like you said, I think that God gives us all perspective for his benefit, for his glory. He doesn't make us all the same. And at the end of the day, we can 100% trust we will all be sanctified to the perfect image of Christ, no matter how we get there, no matter how long it takes. We are all headed to the same destination. So I've been super looking forward to this opportunity, and thank you for your time. Like, thank you for sending your book. Thanks for like feeling willing to get a copy of mine. And yeah, like, this was such a great conversation. And I just want you to know, like, I appreciate you, and I love you as my sister in Christ, and what you're doing out in LA. And like, you're just doing the thing, Manda. Like, you're doing the thing, sis.
Thanks.